Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
No matter what problems you've had, no matter what adversities you've faced, no matter what mistakes you've made, someone in Florida this week did worse than you. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the double-crossing informant who set up a drug dealer trying to sell 4 ounces of high-grade heroin. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, an update from Dan and Becky Gaffney. How long have we had the rotting floor?
Well, I guess we've owned a rotting floor for 23 years.
Finally, fixing the sagging and rotting floor in the kitchen. Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
888-688-WALT. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is live.
So if you're a man and you work all day and your girl doesn't send you special photos while you're at work, let me know, because I love to help a man in need.
And we love you. Good evening. A live radio show, 7 p.m. on the West Coast, 10 p.m. on the East Coast. There's no other live show at this time. You know what station's trying to get away with right now? Not this station, because this is a real, actual station. Other stations try to get away with best ofs and best ofs, and then the gold show and the annuity show and the gold bond show. It's not radio. That's cheating. This is actual radio. You know how you know? Because I will make a myriad of mistakes. I will confess things that I should never confess on the air. When I get off the air in 3 hours, I will look back on it and go, what was I thinking? Why would I do anything like that? Why would I do that? Because the topics that you and I discuss on this show, these are the topics left on the cutting room floor by other shows. It's Sunday night. We have the scraps. You and I talk about the things that no other show would dare touch because they have good sense, research, experience, good taste. I have none of those things. And therefore, you and I talk about the stuff that we would actually discuss. Because most of the things I hear on the radio, nobody would ever actually discuss. And the result is most other shows get demos that are near death. They get demographics that are near death. Whereas I have proof that you are alive. Because just tonight, seconds before I went on the air, I got a Sterling Snap, and I hadn't even asked for one. What is a Sterling Snap? Pick up that overpriced phone that you wasted money on. I don't mean the Android. I mean the iPhone. Pick up that and take a picture. Oh, it's got three lenses now. This is going to be incredible. Yes, the picture of your cat is going to come out so much better than it ever has before. It'll be incredible with the $1,000 three-lens phone, or you could have invested in a proper, formal digital camera, an actual digital camera by Nokia or Canon, and have amazing photos. But gosh darn it, we got to waste $1,000 on a phone. And how do most of those conversations on that phone end? How do most conversations on your $1,000 phone end? They end with, hello? Hello? Hey, are you there? Hello? Now, there's some progress. It was 120 years ago that Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, and 100 years ago that every conversation ended with goodbye. But now every conversation ends with, hello? Oh, gee, oh, my battery ran out. Oh, we're in a bad cell. Oh, it dropped out. I'm in the garage. That's some progress, ladies and gentlemen. That is some progress. I'm in the garage. That is how we know that we're on a cell.
So if you're a man and you work all day and your girl doesn't send you special photos while you're at work, let me know, because I love to help a man in need.
The beauty of this time of year, this is the serious time of year. This is when the grown-ups gather around the collective bonfire, and they make grown-up decisions. October is the first serious month. This is when the major PTO, PTA meetings take place at school. This is when our serious curriculum nights, the curriculum nights happen at school. We go in dutifully. We listen to the 8th grade teacher, the 10th grade teacher, the 3rd grade, explain the curriculum. And you look around the classroom, and at some point, some grown-up who is not in a hurry to leave will say the following. Oh, the classroom looks exactly the same way as when I was in school. Really? Is that a good thing? Answer, magic eight ball. No, bad answer. Nothing should look the same as it did when you and I were in school because you're near death. Nothing should look the same as it did when we were in school because since you were in school, the following has happened. The internet, cell phones, TikTok, YouTube, cutting the wire, cutting the cord, Skechers. These things have happened since you and I were in school. There is no similarity between when you and I were in school and today. Little things like the dumbest thing radio shows say is, it's half past the hour. Really? Because a 13-year-old has no idea what you're talking about. Most 13-year-olds cannot read an analog clock. Why should they need to? Their $1,000 phones are digital. Their computer is a digital time readout. Most of the clocks in their home are digital time readouts. They look at digital time readouts all day. I'm staring at one right now because this isn't actually a modern broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. It should look nothing. Those classrooms should look nothing like they did when we were in school, and yet they hauntingly do. The same goofy analog clock is sitting up against the chalkboard. Oh, and the chalkboards are there. And the overhead projector with the teacher writing on it, praying that the kid will pay attention. But you see, the kids in those classrooms actually have an answer. They have a way out of this analog world. And I will share that with you coming up in just seconds. Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday. I am Walter Sterling, and I look forward to talking to you. That's why I do it live, when I could be asleep just like most of the hosts in North America. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain, where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
Good evening. It's Sterling on Sunday. Are you new to this show? God bless you. Oh, we have something special for you right now. We're supposed to play something special right now. What did I say? Henry, what were we going to play coming out of this break? Hi. Yeah, no, I said, let's play that there. Didn't I say something like that? No? Okay. No need to actually talk. Good evening. Hi. Here's the deal. I can't believe this stupid thing. I'm looking at an AI program that's ridiculous. More on that later. There's nothing more ridiculous than when parents walk into a classroom at this time of year for their curriculum night or their parent-teacher conference, and they say the following. They say, it looks exactly the way it did when I was in school. Okay, that's bad. It's not supposed to look the way it did when you and I were in school. Absolutely not. And as a result, every second, those darn kids, are distanced from what they need to learn. They're sitting in a 1958 classroom, and there's the chalkboard and the chalk and the erasers, and they're sitting there, and they're like, 91% of every student in America, 91% of students in America use their cell phones during school. 91%. Over half of them use YouTube or TikTok during the school day. They spend an average of 4 hours a day with their cell phones. 4 hours a day with their cell phones. Now, you'll recall when you were a youngster, your parents were very, very concerned about, you're spending so much time with the TV. Why are you spending so much time with the TV? Stop wasting so much time with the TV.
So if you're a man and you work all day and your girl doesn't send you special photos while you're at work, let me know, because I love to help a man in need.
And there was great concern that you would drop out of society. You didn't have any real friends. You were on the phone all day. You were in front of the TV all day. And that was of great concern to the parents and the teachers of the time. And now the great concern is how much time students spend on the phone. I say good for them. I say thank goodness. Because as those classrooms have failed to adapt to their needs, as those classrooms have failed to adapt to their needs, those cell phones take the place. Those cell phones communicate with a 11-year-old, a 15-year-old, an 18-year-old in a way that a teacher should, in the way the technology in the classroom should. But an overhead projector is not communicating that way. A chalkboard sure as heck isn't communicating that way. And because the great promise of the future has always been to do things more quickly. That was always the great promise of the future. 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, the promise was always things would be faster. Everything would be more efficient. People would have more free time. That was the promise, that all these technological advances would give you and me and the student more free time. The amount of hours public schools schedule is the same today as it was in 1900. There has been no evolution. And the major reason why the school day was so long in 1900 was because this was an agricultural society. Mom and Dad needed to work the land. And if they were in the city, they were both working at the factory. There wasn't exactly thought leadership. Is that the most arrogant and pretentious thing you ever saw on LinkedIn? I'm a thought leader. Really? Who gave you that? Do you have a certificate that says you're a thought leader? Are you in charge of thought leadership in your community? I love the blogs and blogs that say, Vice President of Dweebles, in charge of them, and a thought leader. Like, what? Or the other one, an executive MBA. I have an executive MBA and I'm a thought leader. I sent a note this week to the dean of an actual college, a prestigious school. I said, when you're considering hiring a professor, does an executive master's degree count? Is that a real master's degree? Is an executive master's degree considered an actual master's degree by academia? And he wrote, LOL, only if I really want to hire the person. LOL, only if I really want to hire the person. I was very tempted, you know, there's a Cornell MBA, there's a Cornell executive master's degree, Boston University executive master's. I was very tempted. I have some free time. I thought, well, maybe I should get an MBA, an executive MBA. I don't know why, because I talk on the radio. The worst thing that could happen to me would be to have structured thinking. If my thinking got structured, all would be lost. It would be a disaster. The best thing students do now is they have their iPhone. And there are some schools in urban areas that make kids check in their cell phones at the beginning of school. And in New York City, in front of the big high schools, there are actual vans. Before the kid gets into school, they have to check it into this van where it goes into a lockbox because they're so afraid it's going to be stolen. But they're also afraid that their attention will be stolen. Their attention will be stolen by these phones. And I say, bravo. I am delighted. I couldn't be happier than that my three kids are feverishly wizardry with those phones. They know every function. I'm talking about the 11-year-old. Every function imaginable on those phones, they know how to work. This week, I made the terrible mistake of trying to edit video on my iPhone. Now, I don't mean to sound as old as I am, but I lost three or four really good video files while trying to edit them. And then when I went to look at the delete file, the trash file, the recover file, no, nothing was there. There was nothing that I had wanted to edit was still there. Nothing. But I think it's fantastic that your kid and mine uses that iPhone all day, and they should. And one of the great things of the pandemic, one of the things where for 18 months those schools did not want to see our kids, they did not want to see them. Do not let any teacher bully you today about the attendance of your child. Well, you know, we'd do better if we could see George more. No, no, no. You didn't want to see George for 18 months. You gave that up. Well, as a result, George has gotten very good at Zoom and online video and communicating with that cell phone. And thank goodness that they are laying the pathway to the future in their hand, because that is the future. That is the communicator screen from Star Trek. That's it. And they're wizards with it. They know how to learn from that. They can get any answer they want while talking to you or 20 of their friends while on the iPhone. And that's the way it should be. That's the point of technology. It's not to put away your phones while you're in class. The phone is the class. The phone needs to be integrated into the formal, quote-quote, curriculums of the public schools in America. Well, you know, there are some kids who can't afford it. Not true. Because there are massive numbers of government programs that for kids who are on food stamps, are on Medicaid, whose families are financially challenged, there are government programs that will give the kid a phone. A smartphone. Not a flip phone that all of a sudden is cool. Yes, let's be retro and go to a much worse phone. I know, a flip phone, that's so cool now. No, it's not. You want the best intelligent smartphone that you can get. So I say, bravo, congratulations. Coming up, you and I are going to talk about the greatest horror that comes with this serious time of year. This is the PTA, PTO, conference, serious time of year where companies, where the company you work for is gathering right now. They're gathering right now to come up with their budget for next year, or in fact, in most companies, to put the finishing touches on the budget that they started putting together in June. That may or may not include you. Gosh, that's what I don't miss. Before I did this, I used to be a guy in a suit. I used to be one of those corporate executives. When they said, oh, it's time to start to work on next year's budget, that was hell, because it was always a joke. It was always a joke. I never actually got to do anything but look very busy in making up the budget, because the real numbers were always handed down from the C-suite. And then you had to plug them in. It was a joke. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. That's how I feel about cell phones in the school. They should be in the classroom. They should never be taken from the kid. And that's our life today. Coming up, more in seconds.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Alice Eve.
Maybe three champagnes in, I was a little emotional and was like, what's going to happen to me? I'm never going to see my mom. We're not going to win the World Cup. I'm never going to be on Love Island.
No matter what problems you've had, no matter what adversities you've faced, no matter what mistakes you've made, someone in Florida this week did worse than you. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the double-crossing informant who set up a drug dealer trying to sell 4 ounces of high-grade heroin. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, an update from Dan and Becky Gaffney. How long have we had the rotting floor?
Well, I guess we've owned a rotting floor for 23 years.
Finally, fixing the sagging and rotting floor in the kitchen. Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
So if you're a man and you work all day and your girl doesn't send you special photos while you're at work, let me know because I love to help a man in need.
Everybody who calls tonight will have an opportunity to guess the mystery voice. And I'm looking for the sound file. Yes. You know, I'll tell you, there's no other radio show quite like this. I'm looking for the sound file. If you can guess this mystery voice, you will win.
Being, you know, myself and relatable to the fans, I never want to put myself in a position where they don't understand me and who I am. And, you know, doing little things like going to events for Comic-Con or...
I suppose you want to hear that again. All right, that'll be one of the great challenges of our time. Here we go.
Being, you know, myself and relatable to the fans, I never want to put myself in a position where they don't understand me and who I am. And, you know, doing little things like going to events for Comic-Con or...
And I'm sorry. Last week, I had a mystery sound, and I should have told you at the end of the show who it was since nobody caught it. Last week, it was Ashley Benson. One of the greatest actresses of our time. That's who it was last week. I'm going to let you hear it once more this week, and you will win a copy of Thea Landon's new erotic novel. Her erotic novel about lesbians. No, not lesbian, but about space. Erotic novel about space, and she will autograph it just for you.
Being, you know, myself and relatable to the fans, I never want to put myself in a position where they don't understand me and who I am. And, you know, doing little things like going to events for Comic-Con or...
Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday. And the great thing about this show is we pick the topics that were left on the cutting room floor by real shows, by all of the official grown-up shows that talk about serious things with serious people and they're out to change the world. And it's very clear to me that at best, a radio show can be vaguely entertaining until you get to the 7-Eleven. And once you get to the 7-Eleven, whatever you buy at the 7-Eleven, that'll be more entertaining than anything I could possibly say. I listen to some of these hosts, and they're hellfire and damnation. They're going to save the world. Everything will be better if you just do what they say. And I know the only thing that could happen if you do what I say is everything's going to get worse. Do not do what I say. View this as a mild distraction as you're going across the country, east to west on I-80, the longest of the interstates, I-90, otherwise known as the Luge in the northeast, the I-5, the 101, or the 4 in Florida. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday. And right now, SUNY Purchase, a major university tucked into the woods of between the prestigious stomping grounds of Greenwich and Scarsdale, right now, Eliza and Meredith are plotting ways to get out of school for the rest of the week. They're plotting ways to kill time. They're looking for new social experiments. And they're posting new TikTok videos, which their father may have some concerns about. Meredith, we will see you in a week. I think that means I'm going to do Sterling on Sunday from the prestigious studios of Odyssey in New York. And if I'm very lucky, Bob Carl, the greatest engineer producer in the history of New York City radio, will be there, and then he'll sneak me into the WFAN studio, unlike what the executives do, which is they sneak me into an edit bay at News Radio 880. Now, will they clear my show on News Radio 880? Why would they do that? Why would they give up that 0.2 share to put in a show that is a consistent ratings winner on KMOX, KMBZ-FM, the brilliant program directors of KMOX and KMBZ, and Greg Stocker at WPHT. These are the true visionaries in American radio. they're the ones who said, well, we'll put that on. That sounds like a good idea. Why not? Why wouldn't we put on a show that doesn't scream at the Democrats?
Being, you know, myself and relatable to the fans, I never want to put myself in a position where they don't understand me and who I am. And, you know, doing little things like going to events for Comic-Con or...
Is there no greater hell than certain things that parents are required to do at this time of year? The number one, the lowest attendance day at Disney World in Orlando, it's not Thanksgiving, it's not Christmas Eve, not Christmas Day, not New Year's Day. No, the lowest attendance day at Disney World is Halloween, because Halloween is the official kid holiday. Kids want to be home at Halloween. They want to be in school at Halloween. That's when they want to be in school. That's when they want to be with their friends. Lowest attendance day at Disney World is Halloween. And that means that parents are required to do things that are unnatural, uncomfortable, and possibly inappropriate. In my opinion, nobody over the age of 18 should be putting on any Halloween costumes. A Halloween costume party for 35-year-olds is just pathetic. Not a good idea. Don't do that. You want to take your 8-year-old to a Halloween party in your normal civilian clothes and stand outside and talk with the other parents? That's fine. But to go in or to dress up like a Halloween person, a Marvel comic character, bad idea. Don't do it. You look ridiculous. You really do look ridiculous. It's sad. We are required to do some things that we are not allowed to admit we hate. We're not allowed to admit that we hate the following things. And in just seconds, I will share why. We're not allowed to admit that we hate the corn maze. We're not allowed to admit that we hate the pumpkin patch. And we sure as heck can't talk about the nonsense of paying a farmer the privilege of walking through beehive-infested mud through row after row of apples and picking the apples for the farmer and then taking the bushels to a cashier run by the farmer and paying the farmer for the privilege of having done an hour of always much hotter than we thought it was going to be labor. And, oh, by the way, it's pretty much an East Coast thing. All right, you and I will share these things we're not allowed to admit that we do not like in just seconds. I'm Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
Hi, Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
I had patched an area of the floor in the kitchen where I was afraid the beam was sinking and there was rot. And it's been patched for how long?
Maybe 6 years.
Decided to tackle it. Thought I would be done about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right, because we weren't taking the whole floor out, just that area in front of the sink where it kind of had sunken down a little because there's water damage there. You know, it's an old house. It happens.
Well, at 7 o'clock last night, I was still not finished.
And you're still not finished.
It's going to take another whole day, I think, to get back after cutting through layers and layers of subfloor with special saws, a trip to the cheap tool store. For a toe saw.
I just like to point out to everyone who is listening that you are in here doing the motions of how exactly you used your saw.
But we got the beam jacked up and the rot has been taken out.
Which was not actually that bad. I expected to see, it's a 150-year-old house. I expected it to be pretty bad where the original beam was and the original flooring was still under there. And it wasn't bad at all. It just kind of had sunken a little bit in that spot.
But man, it takes a lot longer than you think when you don't do this every day.
Right. You started cutting out one little spot, and then I said, I think you better go a little bit bigger. And then, okay, beam to beam. Okay, this beam to this beam. And it did take a little while. And now we have a nice little plywood space that we can walk on until we have it fixed.
Which might take another 6 years.
Maybe seven, I'm thinking. As we get older, it might take a little bit longer.
Here's the problem. You get to a spot where you can patch something, and then you're so exhausted, you just, well, that's good, and then you just, it gets left.
Until there's a leak in the roof, and that has to be fixed, and then the smaller job doesn't quite get done. We're getting there. We're getting there. Progress, honey. Baby steps.
Why did I decide to do this weekend anyway?
Because I decided that I was going to paint the cabinets one night after school, and you went to bed, and you came downstairs, and there were cabinet doors off, and I had started to paint the cabinets, so why not fix the floor?
I feel I was forced into it.
I mean, kind of, that's the way these projects happen, right?
We'll give you an update next week when I hope to have all brand new flooring.
And I hope to have the cabinet doors back on.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Is there no greater hell for a grown-up than to have to go to the pumpkin patch? Is there no greater hell for a grown-up? I'm looking for something. Hold on. I can't see a darn thing. I'm so freaking annoyed. Is there nothing more annoying for us to have to deal with than the... Than the corn
this is
maze.
One of the biggest corn mazes in the world, but I'm about to make a bigger mistake. You see, I took my girlfriend here for a cute hour-long hike, but it wasn't an hour. Because when I bought the tickets, I read the website very wrong. The scenic route is an hour. So the maze is an hour long. If you have the instructions, corn is going to make me single.
Whoa.
Try and keep up.
What is that?
Remember where that is.
That'll be important later. No.
Remember that. That'll be important later.
Oh my God, I feel like that. Remember that.
Remember that.
Remember that.
But then, after 3 hours and 30 minutes, we ended up...
What is this?
Back at the start. No. Please subscribe.
And that's the challenge. The minute you say, you know, it'd be a lot of fun to go through the corn maze... And it looks fine. You start to go in the corn maze and you're in it 10 feet and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to keep going. No matter what, I have to keep going. There is no out to this. It's just forward momentum, except it's not. There are many stories of people in the corn maze and having to call 911 from their cell phones to get out of the corn maze. Or worst case scenario, their battery died and their relatives don't know where they are. The better the corn maze, the more complicated the pumpkin patch, the more elaborate the pumpkin patch, the harder it is to get out. It's exhausting. It's no fun. And worse, the worst mistake than actually going in the corn maze is if I were to go in the corn maze with a toddler, if I were to go in a corn maze with a creature that's just barely able to walk, a 3 or 4 year old. Yeah, come on, we'll go in the corn maze. It'll be fun. Oh my gosh, because you see 20 feet into the corn maze, that kid wants to be carried. Pick up daddy, pick up daddy, pick up daddy. Oh, no, 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 no. Corn mazes, very overrated. Pumpkin patches, again, the wackiest economy in the world. I'm supposed to get on a flatbed truck, be taken out to the pumpkin field. And every second I go out to the pumpkin field, it seems to get colder and colder. By 4:30, we're looking at, it's pushing 48 degrees. And gee, I don't have a coat. I don't have a sweater. My wife, who's always cold and always complaining about something, now has a whole new array of things to complain about. Oh, it's so cold. Why didn't we bring a sweater? I didn't want to come out here. I would have waited in the car. La, 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 la. You have that wife. You know what I'm talking about. Now you're out in the pumpkin patch, and you're surrounded by mud and pumpkins that are the wrong size. And the 11-year-old says, I want that pumpkin, and she points to the largest pumpkin you've ever seen. There's no way, with that hernia operation looming, that you can pick up that pumpkin. But you're going to do it. And you look at one of the farm hands, the guy driving the tractor, and say, can you help me with this? No, insurance won't let me do that. That's a total lie. Those guys have no insurance. Insurance won't let me pick that up. Total lie. Now you pick up the pumpkins. You got four or five pumpkins on the back of the flatbed truck. You're already exhausted from having navigated your way like Lewis and Clark out of the corn maze. And now you're in the back of the flatbed truck, which has a 5-foot drop, if you're lucky. And you get to the barn where you got to pay for the pumpkins. You got to get them off the truck yourself. You get them off the truck. You hold your side. The kid's screaming. The other kid wants the donuts. Look at the donuts and the cider. Now you put your pumpkins on a scale. And you weigh the pumpkins, and that's how much you pay for the privilege of having sat on the back of a flatbed truck in 48-degree weather with no helpers. But it's not over, because you got to hit the apple orchard and pick your own, which makes ShopRite look really good. Kroger, all of a sudden, has never been such a great store. Even Aldi's looks okay. Or the dirty secret of your life, Save-A-Lot. Even the produce at Save-A-Lot's looking pretty good right about now compared to walking through row after row of mud. And why is it that whenever I go to a pumpkin patch, whenever I go to an apple orchard, I always forget the fact that there's row after row of mud? And the mud is going to destroy the beautiful $200 dress shoes that for some reason I decided to wear that day. Why have I done that to myself again? But these are the things we're not allowed to admit. We're not allowed to say this. We're not allowed to say that we don't like street fairs. We're not allowed to say that we don't like Aretha Franklin's music. We like Aretha, but we don't like her music, or any of the above. We're not allowed to admit these things, are we? We're not allowed to admit these things. It's the curse of our culture. Certain things are not acceptable to admit. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. I hope you're having a great time, a spectacular time on this beautiful, beautiful night. You and I should talk live coming up in seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the double-crossing informant who set up a drug dealer trying to sell 4 ounces of high-grade heroin. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. All right. For our first Florida story, we're going to go off the coast of Florida a few miles here, where we have a returning figure on Florida Stories. This is going to be the third episode where I've had to mention this guy. So let's go to CBS News Channel 2 for the report.
Now we want to show you this. It's another water stunt going awry. Reza Bellucci from Florida, awry is putting it mildly, he's facing federal charges after being stopped in this vessel. It is a human-sized hamster wheel. He claimed he was just trying to journey across the Atlantic Ocean all the way to the UK, Jim. He was arrested 70 miles off the coast of Georgia in late August after a bizarre 3-day standoff where he refused to give up his mission. But Hurricane Franklin was headed to that area, so the Coast Guard was not taking no for an answer. And this was also not Bellucci's first rodeo. He was rescued in a similar situation involving flotation devices in 2014, 2016, and 2021. You know, so he's committed.
Well, in Florida Stories, what we call this is Hall of Fame material. That's what this guy is. If you've been arrested 4 different times for inventing a paddleboard hamster wheel and trying to set off on various explorations throughout the Atlantic, kudos to you. Thank you for all the content you provided to the Florida Stories Nation over the years. And I find it funny because they just say like these sentences that just float and they're gone in 6 seconds and you never really think about them. Except for they say he had a 3-day standoff with the Coast Guard. That means there's this dude in this big dumb hamster wheel with little paddles on it, and he's trying to go across the Atlantic from Florida to the UK for some reason. And for 3 days, the Coast Guard's just, what are they, just boating next to him, talking to him through the bullhorn. Hey, bro, you going to stop? I mean, how do you take a dump in that thing? What's going on here? You don't have enough food. You definitely don't have enough water. Are you going to die from exposure? 3 days. 3 days. This is Florida Man Hall of Fame material. So kudos to that guy.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
We're picking up the topic scraps off the cutting room floor. That's what Sterling on Sunday is. The topics that every other host in America said, nah, I don't think so. Those are my topics that I get to share with you. Plus, you get a chance to win a book. Thea Landon, regular feature reporter to Sterling on Sunday, who reads segments of her smutty books on the show. She has autographed a copy of her latest book just for you. All you have to do is identify this voice.
Being, you know, myself and relatable to the fans, I never want to put myself in a position where they don't understand me and who I am. And, you know, doing little things like going to events for Comic-Con or...
Good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday as we drive across I-80 in the 18-wheeler. And this is exactly the right moment of the night, isn't it? Where the glow from the dash is just
being,
right.
You know, myself and relatable to the fans. I never want to put myself in a position where they don't understand me and who I am. And, you know, doing little things like going to events for Comic-Con or...
Or the four-wheeler coming back from the weekend, the special weekend where you were forced to see your relatives who you don't like. None of your relatives do you like. But, again, it's one of those things we have to pretend. There's a long list of things as a grown-up that you and I have to pretend. In fact, I would suggest that it defines being a grown-up. Liking the pumpkin patch. Pretending to like the corn maze. Not being afraid of the corn maze 15 feet in. Thinking it's a good idea to pick the apples for the farmer and then paying the farmer for the privilege of picking those apples. The parent-teacher conference where you pretend to be fascinated with how George is going to be taught math this year and rubrics. And you sit there and the teacher keeps talking about rubrics. And you and I don't know what rubrics are. And neither of us has the guts to say, I don't know what you're talking about when you talk about rubrics. You put the number atop of this one, on top of this one, you put a plus sign, and then you come up with an answer. What the heck is a rubric? These are the things that we pretend to be fascinated by as an adult. There's certain types of music that we say we love, even though we don't, such as everything ever recorded by U2. It is just not okay to say, I don't like U2. I don't like Queen. I respect them as musicians because I've got to at least say that. But the fact is, there's nothing ever recorded by Queen that I've liked. Nothing. But if I were to say, I like David Cassidy's recording of How Can I Be Sure better than the Loving Spoonfuls, I'll be ramrodded out of town. I'll be ramrodded out of town. Any mention of David Cassidy coming from a male voice is going to be viewed with suspicion. And that's just wrong. Hey, what's your pronoun? What's your pronoun? B-O-R-E-D. That's my pronoun. All right. I'm Walter Sterling. Very disappointed that Gavin Newsom tonight appointed a replacement for Senator Dianne Feinstein, a woman that we all respect just because she was so freaking old. Dianne Feinstein, a respected senator. There was much speculation today for about 8 seconds that Meghan Markle would be appointed. She actually campaigned to be appointed to a senatorial seat about 18 months ago, went to Gavin Newsom, said she really wanted this as a job. And I was hoping she'd get it. I was really hoping she'd get it because, in my opinion, she's the most brilliant politician in modern times. Meghan Markle, in my opinion, is the most brilliant politician in modern times. Let's review quickly. Convince the most powerful woman in media to interview her at her home. She didn't have to go to Oprah's studio or Oprah's home. She got Oprah to come to her house. Whoa, impressive right there. Then she convinced a prince of, you know, not of Sweden, not of Denmark, a real prince of the United Kingdom to leave his house, get rid of his fancy robes, his crown, and tick off his grandmother, the Queen of England. Let's annoy the Queen of England as a career move. That's some career move. A co-star of the cable series Suits, which was actually a pretty good series, but she was just another cast member who was really good. She convinced this kid to leave Buckingham Palace, to leave Windsor Castle, to leave the royal family, to leave the money, much of the money that he would have inherited if he had hung around, and moved to Mendocino, a boring part of California. Then convince Netflix to give them tens of millions of dollars and Spotify to give them tens of millions of dollars sight unseen. No need for a pilot. No need for a script. Here's tens of millions of dollars on the promise of a podcast. I promise you, whatever is on that podcast, I could do better. I swear to you. She would be the most powerful person in the Senate. Nobody would shut her down. Nobody would try to filibuster over her. Everything she said would be news. She would be the most powerful senator day one. Why the heck not? Like, why the heck not? I think she should have replaced Dianne Feinstein. And both of them would have shared the same wacky theories. All right, good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and coming up in just seconds, I'm going to share with you the hell I've been through the past few weeks, the sheer unadulterated hell, and I will need your advice. That's in seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Conk.
Join me next time when I go back in time again. Not in an exciting way, like in a film. I'm probably just looking at some old pots or something.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. And it's been kind of a cool thing in your life that I don't know, I don't care what you do. There's probably some overseas component, whether you're an accountant or you work in the oil industry or you work in media or whatever you do, where, hey, you could go take this job in Dubai for 2 years, make a boatload of money and come back and return home with just a big pile of money under you. And so that's what this one Florida couple did. But while they were gone, some squatters noticed that their house wasn't being occupied, nor was it being sold or in the process of coming to the hands of anyone who's paying attention to it. So they just started living in it. And these are not regular old pedestrian, regular Nebraska civilian squatters. These are Florida squatters. They're more refined. They're more sophisticated. They're ready. So when the neighbors call the cops and the cops show up, they have a, what we assume on Florida Stories is a fake lease agreement and a fake rental agreement. And they tell the story to the cops at the time. Yes, my cousin has rented me this place and here's the paperwork for it. And here's the title to back it up. And it's in my cousin's name and everything's all Gucci. And it takes the police a while to track all this down. Meanwhile, the squatters get to legally live in your house. I mean, not you, but Florida man's house. So they're squatters and, they're focusing on Winter Park home, Florida in this New York Post story, but it's the same model that's being used all over the state. And I don't want to say I admire them for what they do, but there's a certain level of competence that comes with this next level of Florida squatter, that they don't just go come into an abandoned house and start shooting up heroin and passing out and randomly pooping in the wrong places, but they also have like paperwork to go with it. Again, not impressed, but you got to admit the Florida squatter
has shown a tendency to be a little more sophisticated, a little more evolved. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right. It's good evening. Good evening. This is a live radio show. There's nothing else live at this time. This is the thrill of it, because everything that could go wrong will go wrong. And that has nothing to do with the ace production crew that I get to work with Henry and Frank Canal and Dave Scalish, the finest chief engineer in North America by far. There's no one even close to Dave Scalish for his genius. And the great general manager, David Yadgaroff, and the genius program director, Greg Stocker. Greg Stocker is at the helm. Everything's going to be fine. I was shocked to learn that Dave has been with the station like 20 years. Holy crow. You and I are on coast to coast. This is a sad anniversary in Las Vegas. It was a year ago that the mass shootings took place. At KXNT covered it for us. Alan Stock was a great ace for us. And this was a sad day. 5 years ago. The mass shooting took place, and we had so much information from KXNT and from Alan Stock, and I endlessly thank them for the help that they gave us that night. That's one of the great things about this show, if I may brag. If there is breaking news on a Sunday night, count on me to share it with you, because even though we do silly, goofy things most of the time, because this is a silly, goofy time, the transition from weekend to week workday is no fun. Going back to the third shift, the late shift tonight, it's not a party. So I try to keep it light and interesting. And like I say, the topics that are on the cutting room floor of every other radio station in America somehow or another manages to get on the air on this station. But if something happens that's serious, whether a weather event, a traffic event, real news, hard news, we cover it and we do a good job of it. If you actually knew my credentials, you'd be repulsed. But nevertheless, I can gather up skilled broadcasters to share the information with us. We had the very first report out of Ukraine by a Ukrainian citizen, not a serious journalist, not an official spokesperson, not somebody from the embassy. We got a real person who lives there. And while he was sharing with us his life, we heard the bombs going off in the background. And he explained that those bombs go off from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. every single night. Didn't hear that on any other report. But that's the sort of information we share with you. Plus, I have weather from an actual meteorologist. This is a very unusual radio show, and I'm proud to share Sterling on Sunday with you for 9 years. Have you seen the TV show Caught in Providence? What a silly title, Caught in Providence. It's a very interesting show, and I will share that with you coming up. But I want to talk to you about the hell I've gone through the past month. I am dead. Did you know that? I am dead. My bank decided that I was dead, because when my ATM card did not work in a gas tank, it said declined. Usually that means I don't have money, but for once in my life, I actually had money in the account. I mean, that really would count as news in itself, but I knew there was money in that account, and it said declined. And then I called the customer service number, and after much feverish hand-wringing, I found out that the bank thought I was dead. My official banker said, "Oh, gee, it thinks you're dead." And I said, "Well, clearly I'm not dead. Can't you fix it?" And he said, "No, I cannot fix it. You have to fix it. You have to call this number." I said, "I'm not calling any number. I didn't kill myself. This is not a suicide run. I'm not a suicide bomber. I'm alive. You know I'm alive. You know me." I went into the branch. I went into the branch. And they said, on a Saturday, and they said, "Gee, you're going to have to call this number." And the very nice, very competent executive tried to hand me the phone. I said, "It's a Saturday. Whoever you're having me call at your official corporate offices is not going to be there." "Oh, no, they'll be there." And sure enough, they weren't there. they decided I was dead. I don't have the script for dealing with my bank when it tells me that I'm dead. All right, then the mail starts coming. I get three or four mails, real mails, that say, these credit bureaus say you're dead. If they're wrong, please call this number. Well, if they're right, I can't be calling any number. But if they're wrong, call this number. Like, oh my God. Then I start getting letters addressed to the estate of Walter Sterling. Letters addressed to the estate of Walter Sterling. I'm like, okay, so my bank has told credit bureaus I'm dead. My bank thinks I'm dead and has deactivated my ATM card. It has closed my account because they think I'm dead. And now I'm supposed to call customer service at a high level, elevated up, to declare that I'm alive. All right, I'll do that. Sure, why not? I start to call and call. Oh, which bank is it? Doesn't matter. This could happen at any bank. I was going to say the name of the bank. I would love to say it, the name of the bank, just out of spite. But then you'd go, well, that's not my bank. This could be your bank. What happened next is even more unbelievable, and I will share that with you coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the plane doctor.
You're not supposed to be on your phone. It's bad for the plane.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you a plane doctor? No? So shut the hell up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the double-crossing informant who set up a drug dealer trying to sell 4 ounces of high-grade heroin. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. All right, for our next Florida story, I absolutely loathe this story. I despise this story. This is so freaky and horrible, and I'm sorry to even tell you about this on Florida Stories. But they did this one of those things where the cops set up a fake account on social media, and they say, I'm an underage girl who's looking to hook up with some older men, and they have a complete stampede of weirdos lining up that just can't get arrested fast enough. The reason this is making Florida stories, sorry, I just, these things upset me. The reason it's making Florida stories is this is in Polk County. And what we have among the people arrested is three Disney workers, a school athletic director. They have, people in the school system and whatnot. Someone even left their one-year-old home alone to hurry up and go get arrested. But just the sheer number of this, 219 people were arrested in Florida in a Polk County sheriff sting. Oh, my goodness. That's 216. And it's not like they set this up over the span of 5 years. And, this is the total tally. God, man, like you don't think it's that much of a problem because, you don't know anybody who does this. I don't know, man. I don't know. I hope that's like just a Florida specific phenomenon. The scary part is it's probably not. But, Disney workers are in there. School athletic directors are in there. 219 people arrested. That's a lot. That's freaky. I'm sorry. I can't. That's weird. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's fourth installment of Florida Stories is still coming up. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and catch past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Can you identify this voice? Are you good at identifying this voice? If you do, you will win a free autographed copy of Thea Landon's latest book. Who's Thea Landon? A smutty book author. Self-described smutty book author.
Being, myself and relatable to the fans, I never want to put myself in a position where they don't understand me and who I am. And, doing little things like going to events for Comic-Con or...
Tonight's show, entire show, the entire 22 minutes is devoted to Mark Simone. Who is Mark Simone, you say? how can you not know who Mark Simone is? How is that possible? Nominee for the National Radio Hall of Fame. You're in it, aren't you, Walter Sterling? No, I'm not. Mark Simone, nominee for the National Radio Hall of Fame. Let's just think about that. Okay, and good evening to Miss Meredith and Eliza and Dorothy Rose, the finest young ladies in North America, the smartest young ladies in North America, because they have taken in Howard Stern's cats. Beth Stern shared some of her kittens with Meredith and Dorothy and Eliza, and these cats won the kitty lottery. There are no happier cats in the world than those cats, believe me. All right, good evening. I have some housekeeping. Here's the deal. I have an email address. Every email I get gets answered. You ready? WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. A magnificent website designed by James Copeland of Coffeeville, Kansas. The commandeer of our powerful affiliate in Coffeeville, Kansas. James Copeland and Lee Harris designed our website. Thank you. It's waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. Let's try to increase the traffic to that website dramatically. Every week when Charles Van Zandt gives me the results of the traffic to the website, I'm always stunned. I can't believe how many people are kind enough, how many Midnight Misfits go there to check out our background, our secret decoder card, information about Florida stories, links to our podcast, and we don't do that lame thing that too many shows do. Too many shows take a recording of their on-air show and then edit it down and turn it into a podcast. That's not a podcast. That's an air check. That's just a recording of a show. A podcast is a different medium. On my podcast, the Midnight Misfit podcast, I share information I dare not share on the air. Isn't that scintillating? Doesn't that make you want to try it and sample it? Of course, it's called cross promotion. You can hear every show I've ever done on the website. All you have to do is click the tab that says Listen to Show. Click the tab that says Listen to Show, and every show I've ever done here for you is there. Every show I've ever done on WABC in New York is there. Everything, my entire life is rolled out in front of you on the waltersterlingshow.com website. Then separately, you can click on the podcasts, which are not edited recordings of this show, as so many hosts who are so lame do. I'm not one of those lame hosts. I'm in a whole different category of disabled.
Being, you know, myself and relatable to the fans, I never want to put myself in a position where they don't understand me and who I am. And, you know, doing little things like going to events for Comic-Con or...
Who is that? Win Thea Landon's book. My bank announced that I was dead. In order to become undead, they could not undead me at the branch. They couldn't say, oh, yes, Mr. Sterling is alive. Now, on my account was my wife and two daughters. My two college-age daughters and myself were all linked on the same account. I go into the bank, and I don't have a script for dealing with the bank having killed me. I don't know what to say about being dead. I don't know how to talk to them, but I am annoyed. And as I talk to the very nice and very professional executive in the bank, I was progressively annoyed, guilty. I did not curse. I did not raise my voice. I did not threaten. Because I know those rules. I know they're waiting for you. I know it's cancel culture with a red carpet. I did not curse, I did not raise my voice, I did not threaten. But I was not happy, and I was annoyed. And I did insult the city of her origin, because it was in Ohio. I leave. they say the only way you're going to undo this is you got to call this number. All right. I get on the phone. I'm talking to the central office there for over 1 hour, being transferred to person to person to person, including two different stops at the Estate Department, two different stops at the Department for People Who Are Dead. Two stops, two different executives. And they say, well, so you want a new card? You want the card reissued? I said, no, I want the card that I have to work because I did nothing wrong. You guys screwed up. And I was annoyed. I had every right to be annoyed. The end of the story is this. They turned my card back on. And after 4 days, I got a text from daughter number one that says, what's going on with the bank? And then I got a text from daughter number two saying, what's going on with the bank? I can't deposit my checks into my account. The other daughter saying, I can't get money out of my account. And they're each 500 miles away from home and me and the bank. They're in college, and the last thing they need at midterm time is to stress out about the $4 they've got. Now, the money in their accounts is not grandma money. This is money they've worked hard for and earned. It's their money. And now they don't have access to it. They can't withdraw it, and they can't deposit. And my wife's card doesn't work, and you know what that does for a marriage. And my card doesn't work. My card had worked for 4 days. Well, I call the number, and they say, your account's closed. I said, wait, why is it closed? We don't have to tell you. We have the right to close the account at any time for any reason. And remember, I was undead. They had reactivated my card, and then 4 days later, they had shut down mine, my daughter, my other daughter, and my wife's card. They shut them all down after 4 days of them working. Remember, they killed me. I didn't commit suicide. They killed me. I said to my wife, I cannot go into that branch. You have to go in and fix it. And I knew that the longer she was at the branch, the worse trouble I was in. The end of that story in just seconds. The mystery of why my account was shut down for good. Why they declared me dead in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Thank you. All right, for my final salvo on Florida Stories here, listen. I do not want any complaints about how, oh, you missed this story that happened 4 to 3 weeks ago. Oh, how come you didn't do this one? Or if you send me a story and I don't do it, I don't want to hear it. I only get to do 3, 4, 5 stories a week. And I know there's 28 crazy things that happen to Florida. I'm not going to get to every one of them. If you send it in, I'm sorry if I didn't get to it. There's 20 people that are sending in stories, and to be fair, half of you that send in the stories are repeat stories, and I appreciate everyone. So it's good to know that the ones I pick out to do usually are going to make the most people happy. So if you have some obscure story that you sent in that I didn't get to cover and I've moved on and it happened 6 months ago, I would like to say a heartfelt I'm sorry. I do read and see every email that I get, and I appreciate every lead that I get. I'm sorry I didn't get to your story. There really is just too much. The state really is that bonkers. It is messed up in the head. It is like Charlie Sheen on bath salts, and that's not my fault, but I appreciate the effort. Thank you. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
My bank killed me. My bank decided I was dead. They informed the credit bureaus that I was dead. They canceled my card. I got it reestablished. Everything was fine for 4 days. And then they shut it down again. And my wife's and my two college-age daughters who had college accounts. I had gone into the bank, and I'm like, "What? Why are you closing these accounts? Why did you do that?" And they said, we can close it for any reason. I said, "Well, what's the reason?" "We don't have to tell you." Now, that's a very interesting thing, Elizabeth Warren on the banking committee, Sherrod Brown on the banking committee. That's a very interesting thing that no commercial bank has to tell you why they shut an account. I understand that they have the right to do business with you or not. I understand that part. To not be compelled to explain the reason is counterproductive because it means you could make the mistake again. That doesn't help your relationship. That doesn't help the banking industry. But they did not tell me. My wife goes in because now we can't get our money. I said, "You have to go in and do it." She goes in and does it. The end of the story is this. I was unpleasant. I was canceled. I was unpleasant to somebody in the bank in some way, but it was, you know, very vague. And, you know, just somebody complained about me. They shut down my account, my kids' account, my wife's account. My kids did nothing. They were 500 miles away. Now they're in fear. The bank put my children into fear. That's not okay. You don't put my children, my daughters, into fear 500 miles from home. You don't make it impossible for them to deposit a check or withdraw their money for no reason. There's no reason. Your father was unpleasant, therefore was shutting your account. Oh, what? Here's what they had to do. They would not reopen an account for me. Refused. Would not do it. They said, my daughters have to go to their local branch. They are far apart from each other. They each had to go into the local branch, to their bank, to the branch manager, and open their own accounts. And they'd reopen one for my wife. They were gracious enough to reopen an account for my wife with our money. My daughter, the oldest one, was stressed over not being able to get her money for 2 days, stressed about money in general. You know, she's a student. She works to have any spending money at all. They sent her to her local branch where the local branch manager was an a-hole to her, a complete a-hole. And from the branch to her apartment, she was in tears the whole time. Well, you don't make my daughter cry. You don't keep my daughters in fear. And you don't hold up my money. I want to sue them. I want to raise bloody hell over the fact that they caused my daughter's physical and psychological harm. They embarrassed and humiliated me. And their reason was pathetic. Just pathetic. Oh, I'm unpleasant. I'm paid to be unpleasant. What would you do? Because I don't trust myself. What would you do? My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I usually know exactly what to do. I have laid out the facts to you. My desire is to get a lawyer and sue them. That's every instinct I've got in my body. That's what I want to do. Is sue them. Take them to small claims court, drag them in front of the banking committees, cause whatever trouble I can. How dare they make my daughter cry? A branch manager at a crummy branch in a crummy city makes my daughter cry, keeps my daughter in fear, alienates my wife from me because I was unpleasant. There's big news. There's news. All right, my number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. It's a spectacular live radio show.
Who was this man? What was it?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the double-crossing informant who set up a drug dealer trying to sell 4 ounces of high-grade heroin. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, good evening. Welcome to the big show. It's an honor to be with you, I think. My Midnight Misfits, we do not belong. We are introverts. And introverts are responsible for all of the innovation in life. One of the challenges of being an introvert is that inevitably we work for an extrovert. Extroverts tend to get the job because they tend to make the most money. They tend to make the most noise. They tend to make the most noise. There's a new study about introverts that I wanted to share with you. Do not be bored by the word study. I would never bore you with anything. You know that. You know I would never bore you. I just have to find it. Oh, my gosh. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. According to a new study, introversion is a basic personality style characterized by a preference for the inner life of the mind over the outer world of other people. It is one of the big five dimensions that define all personalities and sits on a continuum at the opposite end of which is extroversion. Introversion on one end, extroversion on the other. Compared to extroverts, introverts enjoy subdued and solitary experiences. They do not fear or dislike others, and they are neither shy nor plagued with loneliness. A crowded cocktail party may be torture for introverts, but they enjoy one-on-one engagement in calm environments, which is more suited to the makeup of their nervous system. It is a physical phenomena. Evidence suggests that unlike extroverts, the brains of introverts do not react strongly to viewing novel human faces. In such situations, they produce less dopamine associated with reward. Research has found that introverts have thicker prefrontal cortices as compared to extroverts, which is associated with deeper thought and planning. You and I have deeper thoughts and planning, suggesting that introverts are less impulsive than extroverts. That can be a good thing, but it can also make introverts much more prone to anxiety and depression. According to the theories involved with this, the behaviors of introverts and extroverts are due to differences in cortical arousal. Compared with extroverts, introverts have naturally high cortical arousal and may process more information per second. You know what that means? Sorry. It means that we're smarter. That's what it means. It means we're smarter. We have more RAM than an extrovert. And think about it. Everybody who told you that, you know, you really should be a team player, you really should join the team. Everybody you know in sales, everybody who calls themselves a team player, everybody who's loud, you've already decided is not as smart as you are. And this says they're not. They cannot process as much information as an introvert. Introverts, it seems, can process more information per second. But that's because we're not distracted by nonsense. We're very comfortable with our inner life. The expression about loneliness, don't you get lonely? No, I've never felt loneliness in my life. I'm perfectly happy sitting alone. I'm perfectly happy sitting in an empty laundry room, talking to America from my empty laundry room with no physical evidence that you're listening. I have no evidence that you're listening. All I can physically see is that I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to my laundry room. That's it. And I can hear crickets. And if you listen carefully, you can hear crickets as well. That's the deal. That's what introverts are. We are misfits. We do not fit in with people who are loud. There was a program director who was like a C+, who once said to me, well, you know, the problem with your show is it doesn't fit in. I'm like, what'd you say? It doesn't fit in. Oh, thank you for that gift. You've given me the gift. My show doesn't fit in, and you are a midnight misfit. I was sharing with you the fact that my bank thought I was dead. And I was very upset about this, and I would like to know what to do. Because they shut my account, they shut my wife's account, they shut my kids' student accounts because they thought I was dead. And then when I went in to complain about being dead, they thought I was inappropriate. I'm sorry I wasn't given a script on how to behave after being told by my bank that I'm dead, but they shut down my accounts because they thought I was inappropriate in speaking to one of their executives, a grown-up more than capable of defending herself, but I was canceled. I did not curse, I did not raise my voice, I did not threaten, but nevertheless I was unpleasant. Yes, I was unpleasant because I had been taught I was dead.
Being, you know, myself and relatable to the fans, I never want to put myself in a position where they don't understand me and who I am, and, you know, doing little things like going to events for Comic-Con or...
In addition to the advice that I would like to have from you about how to deal with the bank after being told that I was dead... And then being told that the accounts were closed because I was unpleasant about being told that I was dead. But here's the emotional supercharge. Here's why I want to do something to the bank. I want to do something to the bank because they shut my two student accounts. My kids are in college. The money in their accounts is money they have earned. It is not from a trust fund. It is not from grandma. It is money that they have earned. And not only could they not get money out, they could not put money in because they shut down those accounts for no reason. And, oh, by the way, if you ask a bank, why did you shut the account? They say, well, we don't have to tell you. We can do it for any reason. And then if you say, well, what was the reason? Oh, we don't have to tell you. No, really, any bank can do that. And apparently, this is a hot trend in the banking industry of banks shutting down accounts for no reason. What would you do? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about my time spent in the Manhattan North Narcotics Division. Now, prior to working in narcotics, I was a precinct cop, and I was making a lot of arrests, and everybody started telling me, you should put in for narcotics, you should put in for narcotics. So my partner and I put in for narcotics, and they say, be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it, and I wound up getting assigned to the Manhattan North Narcotics Division. And I didn't know anybody there. And at the time, the Manhattan North Narcotics Division turned out of an armory on Riverside Drive. The building was a hellhole. They had no air conditioning, no heat. You couldn't drink the water in the building. There was asbestos rumored in there. So it was a terrible place to work. So on my first day, I meet a sergeant. He leads me into this conference room. And you've got all these desks. There's probably 100 detectives in this room. And the phones are ringing off the hook. And you've got about 20 new guys like myself. And then the rest are seasoned detectives that are working on cases. So he says, well, go find a desk. He goes, put some forms in the desk. And, you know, we'll go out for lunch later. Or, you know, I'll discuss what I expect from you guys. So I said, all right. So I'm sitting at this desk trying to make friends. And the phone rings. So someone says, hey, answer that. So I pick up the phone, and there's this guy in the other end with this gravelly voice, and he goes, hello? I said, yeah. He goes, this is Cholo. I said, okay. He says, it's Detective Vasquez there. I said, no, he's not. Tell him it's going down. And the guy hangs up the phone. So I thought it was funny. And in the NYPD, you're constantly getting pranked, so I didn't think anything of it. About a half hour later, this detective walks in and he goes, "Hey, did Cholo call?" So I said, "Yeah, Cholo called." He goes, "Well, what did he say?" I said, "He said it's going down." He goes, "Why didn't you tell me?" The next thing you know, we're piling into vehicles and we're racing up to this housing project in Spanish Harlem. So what Cholo did was, Cholo was an informant that would set up drug dealers. So Cholo arranges a drug deal with this guy, and this guy comes down from his apartment with an envelope containing several ounces of heroin. So we get the description, and my sergeant says, "Move in." So we come into this courtyard in this housing project, and it's probably about 20 of us coming from all angles. You've got this middle-aged Spanish guy leaning on a swing set, and he sees all the cops walking in into this courtyard, and he's saying to himself, you could read his eyes, are they here for me? Are they here for something else? And as we get closer, the guy panics, and he throws this manila envelope up in the air and takes off running. One of the detectives grabs the envelope. We get into a foot pursuit with this guy, and we finally catch him. Well, the envelope he threw contained about 4 ounces of heroin, which is A1 felony weight, because a kilo of coke is 17,000, where a kilo of heroin is 180,000, because you can step on it more. So later on, we were processing the arrest. The guy said, "I know who set me up." And I said, "Who set you up?" He goes, "Cholo." And I didn't say a word. So be sure to check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
So I've heard it said you could walk up to any white girl, stop her, look in her eyes, and say, "I'm sorry about what Josh did to you." And it'll ruin her day because every white girl hates a guy named Josh.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. It's Sterling on Sunday. I need to know what to do about my bank, which shut down my account after I was annoyed that they had told me I was dead. The account gets reopened for 4 days, and they shut it down again, and they shut down my daughter's accounts. And they make my daughters go to their nearby branch to reopen their own accounts, but will not open my account. The result is one of my daughters went to the branch, and from the branch to her home, she was crying the whole time. And you know, as a father, you're not going to let that go. Lillian in New Jersey, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-9258. Hi, Lillian.
Hi, Walter. I just wanted to let you know I'm a longtime listener. I wait for Sundays. If it were me, and this happened to me at my bank, the first thing I would do is get in touch with the banking commission and lodge a complaint. The second thing I would do is make sure that I had documented day, dates, times, and the people that I spoke to. And the third thing I could do is get the best lawyer that money I could afford.
You don't think this is just spite? You think this is worth the effort?
If someone made my children that upset, and my wife, well, my husband, and me, I don't think it's spite. It's a principle of the thing.
All right, Lillian, where do you get your pizza in Berlin, New Jersey? Where do you get the pizza?
King of Pizza.
There you go. Thanks for your call, and thanks for being a fan. I appreciate it. Thank you. 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Linda in beautiful Albany, New York, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Thank you. Yes, that was great, all the things she had suggested, but I said, was thinking also, a lawyer, if you can, to really clarify and know where you stand, it's not right what they're doing.
What kind of lawyer? Do you have any idea what kind of lawyer?
Oh, boy. Well, I would think a business specialist.
Now, you listen to Paul Vandenberg's radio station in Albany, New York, and we love Paul Vandenberg, who does mornings on the station. He owns that station. Did you know that, Linda?
Oh, no, I wasn't quite knowing of that. No, but he is great. I listen to him all the time.
Okay, now I want you to do me a big favor. Because of what you just said, I want you to say, I think Paul Vandenberg is great. I listen to him all the time.
I think Paul Vandenberg is great. I listen to him all the time.
Thank you. You have given Paul a promo. Thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. I am furious at my bank, absolutely furious, not only because they decided I was dead. I call them up. They say, oh, yes, it seems that you're dead. They inform the credit bureaus that I was dead. And I start getting letters to the estate of Walter Sterling, to the estate of Walter Sterling, and letters saying, gee, if we did this in error, please call. Well, if you did it in error, if you were right, I can't be calling anybody. And I don't have a script for how to deal with the fact that my bank says I'm dead. I go into the bank. I'm annoyed. I do not threaten. I do not curse. I do not raise my voice, but I am annoyed. But that offended people. You know, people were all offended. Really? You guys said I was dead. How much more offensive can you be? My instinct is to say the name of the bank on the air and to say it on the air over and over again. Because, you see, if a bank closes your account, they will say this to you. They will say, we have the right to close any account at any time we wish, just as you have the right to not do business with us. Well, yeah, okay, I understand capitalism. I got that part. But then if you say, well, why did you close the account? We can close the account for any reason we wish. Like a Dalek. I'm like, okay, well, what's the reason? If you can do it for any reason you wish, what's the reason? We don't have to tell you. All right, that's the banking law that I'm going to be on a mission from God to change. Elizabeth Warren, Sherrod Brown on the banking committee, the banking and finance committee at the Senate, that's my mission, is to get that law change, that ruling change. Okay, they want to shut an account for any reason, fine. They can go ahead and be stupid all they want, but I want to hear the reason. And they're not compelled. No bank, not just mine. Read the fine print. It says we can do it for any reason at any time. Well, now that's some brochure. That's some terrific piece of public relations. We can close any account at any time, and we don't have to tell you. Wow. Oh, my gosh. It's only your money. It's only your reputation. They can close your account at any time for any reason, and they don't have to tell you the reason. If I ask you to leave my house, I say, get out of my house. You will know the reason. Absolutely guaranteed you will know the reason. What would you do? 888-688-9258. I just want to sue their butts. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. This is a giant network radio show, and it's an honor to be with you, Midnight Misfits. Well, not you. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Cara Delevingne.
Because it comes from a place of deep insecurity. Like, ever since I was a kid, I was like, I want to have a boob job. My boobs are uneven. You know, I don't like my nose. Or, like, different things.
All right, good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and you are a Midnight Misfit. Well, who are you? You're Keith Mortensen, who finally retired from his great job at UPS. Good evening, Keith. Jim Cardacci, Frankie Red, Jim Kelly, Drew in Las Vegas, Beryl Kravitz, Dee Wells, John Kelly, Irene Robinson, Marion June, Jewel Riley. I love Marion Jewel Riley because she has the most beautiful name I've ever heard. Edie Valdez, Jennifer Hadrant, welcome. These are the Midnight Misfits, and you can be one too. All you have to do is go to Walter Sterling Show. MidnightMisfit.com and click Midnight Misfit. And there you can download the Midnight Misfit membership card, which is a decoder card and allows you to decode secret messages. Secret messages. And it spells out exactly what a Midnight Misfit does and does not do. What your obligations are as a misfit. Finally, you and I have our own club. WalterSterlingShow.com. Every email I get gets answered. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I have a Facebook account. It's Walter Sterling. And you can see brand new, beautiful photos I've put up during the show. For example, the MyPillow slippers that I've put up. The MyPillow slippers. It's unbelievable what we do. Unbelievable. I have too much to do tonight. That is often the case, and I'm debating here what to do next. Yeah, so Gavin Newsom, questionable governor of the state of California, has appointed a replacement for Senator Dianne Feinstein, but I think he made a mistake. I was really hoping that the person who wanted him most, Meghan Markle, cable actress, I wish she had been given it because Meghan Markle's the most powerful politician alive today. Without portfolio, she convinced Oprah Winfrey to come to her home. She didn't go to Oprah's home. She convinced Oprah to come to her home and interview her and her husband without portfolio. They did nothing except move to California. They moved from England to California. That's all they did. Oh, and they relinquished tens of millions of pounds of money. They relinquished a relationship with a real royal family, not the Dutch royal family, but the royal family of England. They annoyed the Queen of England, and they sit there and got tens of millions of dollars from Spotify and from Netflix. Meghan Markle's a genius. With nothing, she convinced all of that to happen. She did that. And that's who I want in the Senate. If she can do that, she can get the roads repaired. If she can do that, she can get the tolls taken down. Because the candidate who will win any election to any office is the candidate that will say, I'm going to work my butt off to get the tolls taken down. Because my favorite statistic is not the return on investment or the gross points or the unemployment figure. No, my favorite statistic is what it costs a truck, an 18-wheeler, to drive from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. $1,000. Right, Keith? $1,000 to drive from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. $50 if you're a four-wheeler, and that's insane. And remember, the Pennsylvania Turnpike was the first toll road in America. It seems to me whatever charges existed then 400 years ago, it's all been paid off. It's all been paid off. There should be no toll roads. It is the biggest scam in history. But my challenge today is that my bank decided I was dead. Yes, that's right. Yes, it makes me run to a Pittsburgh toilet. My bank decided that I was dead. And they announced to all the credit unions that I was dead. All the credit bureaus now think I'm dead. And therefore, they closed my accounts. And when I finally proved to them that I wasn't dead, they opened the accounts, but only for 4 days. My kids' accounts were attached to mine. My wife's accounts that were attached to mine. Everybody was attached. And they reopened mine for 4 days, but, oh, gee, then they shut them again. But they didn't tell us. They didn't give us any notice. They don't have to give us notice. Oh, did you know that? If the bank closes your account, they don't have to give you any notice. More terrifying, they don't have to give you any reason. This is one of the many similarities we have to North Korea. They don't have to give us any reason for anything that they do. And I want that bank finance committee to be on top of this, because that is a fine print point that's inexcusable. Your bank, my bank, can close my accounts for any reason and not have to tell me the reason. Whoa, really? If I throw you out of my house, I'm going to give you a reason. If my kid is expelled from public school, I'm going to get a reason. If they won't sell me a product, the store will give me a reason. Gee, that's a defective product. But a bank can shut our account for no reason. And if you say, well, what's the reason? They can do it for any reason. What's the reason? We don't have to tell you.
Whoa.
And they can shut up your money. And you have to fight to get it. And I don't mind that crap because I expect that crap. But my 20-year-old daughter, 500 miles from school, and my 18-year-old daughter, 400 miles from school, were thrown into a state of fear. What's wrong with the bank? Why won't I be able to deposit any checks right now? Why can't I deposit a check? Why can't I get out my money? And the money is money they've earned, not money that was given to them by a rich relative, not something from an estate, not something from my insanely wealthy relatives who have given us nothing, have never said, how can we help you? That's never come out of their mouths. In their high and mightiness, no relative of mine at my moment of need ever said, how can we help you? Those words never came out. Instead, they had all sorts of wacky theories about what I should do, theories I did not ask for. Didn't ask for those theories. But now they terrorized my children. They made my 20-year-old daughter, who's a tough New Yorker, they made her cry. She cried from her local branch to her apartment because of the way the branch manager treated her. How shabby they treated my daughter when she went in to commit the crime of opening her own account. That was the crime she committed. She opened her own account. She said, listen, there's some problem with our family's account. I need to open my own account. I need the money to be transferred to me. And that local branch manager treated her like crap, like garbage, like garbage. Yes, I want to sue them. What would you do? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 5 good minutes.
Stephen Johnson, treasurer of the state of Kansas. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Tell me about your day, because to me, it sounds like you're in math class all day.
Well put, Walter. Thank you for that. It is that. It is watching the dollars and cents for the state of Kansas and the people of Kansas and looking at the different places where we are able to put those dollars to work. And one of our topics today would deal with what people might do in their own education savings accounts, which the state happens to run.
The 529 plans.
Exactly.
The 529 plans are unique to the state. They're not federal plans. These are unique to each state. Almost every state offers them. Why is the one in Kansas well run? What are the interest rates? Why is it a good idea to save in the 529 plan?
We have a great partner in American Century who runs our Learning Quest 529 savings accounts. Not only is it well run, but they have had the highest service rankings for customers who call in when you have a question, when you want to know more. And that's one of the things we really like in the state of Kansas, to be partnering with a near Kansas company, because we think our investors are really well taken care of. In Kansas, we also offer a tax deduction, which not a lot of states offer, for Kansans to deduct up to $3,000 per beneficiary per year from their state income tax. So that's one of the benefits of being in the Kansas plans for folks that are in Kansas.
I have two daughters in college. And when one of them was born, I called the development person of a private university and I said, what's it going to be when she gets to school? And that was 18 years ago. And he said, it'll be about $82,000 a year. I'm like, what?
Oh,
And son of a gun, he was right. To the penny, he was right. That's what it costs her to go to a private university in the state of New York. So please give me the range, Stephen Johnson. In the state of Kansas, the distance between a state-run college and a private college in the state of Kansas, approximately what's the annual cost?
Realistically, it starts at about $30,000 a year. In Kansas, the cost that you had in the school you mentioned in New York, that would be, I think, beyond the upper end of most of our schools in Kansas. But if you're up to that $50,000 range, that should provide many of the opportunities that we have in Kansas.
With a 529 plan based in Kansas, do those funds only get distributed to colleges based in Kansas?
No, they can be used anywhere in any accredited institution. So the flexibility for where someone wants to go is still up to them, because it's hard to know when someone's born where they might wind up.
The next question is, if I were to put in hypothetically $5,000 a year for the 18 years of my kid's life, $5,000 a year to save in a 529 plan, what would that mean in terms of 18 years from now? How much money could I expect to get over the amount I put in?
So the rates vary by how much risk you want to take as an investor. You can be very conservative, which thankfully those rates are even pretty good right now, probably getting past 4% into 5%. To the more equity-heavy portfolios, that you might be able to look at a return that approaches 7%, although you want to back off of that before you get too close to pulling the dollars out. That amount could grow to be $130,000, $150,000 if you're putting in $5,000 per year.
What financial planning advice do you give, Stephen?
Taking advantage of the 529 is certainly one of the first things to do in the flexibility that it has. As you look to your overall financial situation, always the first is a cash reserve. The second is looking at what insurance needs, what things you can't afford to lose. But then starting to save towards goals, and there are few tools more powerful than the 529 for education. And now that you can actually convert some of those dollars to a Roth, it gives you a lot of flexibility towards tax-free savings.
I'm an English major. What the heck's a Roth?
A Roth is a IRA or an IRA account option that the dollars you put in earn tax-free towards retirement. So having put dollars in a 529 plan, now a complicated set of rules next year will allow us to actually convert some portion of that to the Roth IRA account, which is tax-free for retirement purposes.
Stephen Johnson, treasurer for the state of Kansas, an honor and a privilege to have you on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you very much for being a financial wizard who actually can speak English. Thank you, Stephen.
Well, thanks to an English major who can help me to do that. And you have a wonderful day.
All right. Pre-recorded. Thank you very much. Partnership with the state of Kansas. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. Isn't this a fantastic radio show? No? All right. Walter Sterling Show. Every email I get gets answered. There's Karen O. with the cats. And Rebecca K., welcome to Sterling on Sunday. And Catherine A., welcome to Sterling on Sunday. You are blessed midnight misfits. We are here because no one else wants us, but we're introverts. And people who are extroverts don't know how to deal with people who are introverts. But it's why we like being up at night. It's why we like being up at night, because there isn't too much noise. There's not too much stimulation. Turns out, it's not a psychological phenomena. It is a physical phenomena. Our brains and our heads are different than extroverts. The bottom line of all of that neurology is that we can absorb more information faster than extroverts. When you and I are in front of the, are sitting in a room, and there's some clown in front of the room saying, "I like team players. I want everybody to get along. Don't sit in the back and hide. Get your hands up and join the conversation." I shut down. I'm a lone wolf. The only way I can really think of a new idea, the only way I can participate in the growth of a company or a business or anything requiring original thought, is if I take the problem and go to the back of the cave and eat it alone and then come back in a day or two or three when I have the answer. I'll have thought it all through. I will have, but I cannot think it through in front of you. I cannot think it through with you. I cannot brainstorm. I am incapable of brainstorming. And for a long time, I thought it's either because I didn't have the spirit to do it, I didn't know how to do it. Well, it turns out I can't do it. I physically am not wired in a way that allows me to brainstorm. I can take the problem and think through the problem and work it out and come back with the answer on a silver platter. But I can't do it if you're watching. True of so many things. I cannot do it if you're watching. Because I'm an introvert. If you have trouble doing things in front of other people in terms of new ideas or thought leadership, whatever that crap is, it's because you're an introvert. That's who we are. And we check our work. We check our answers before we present them. We don't throw out all of our ideas and all of our answers and let people to work them through and see if we're right. No, we don't do that. We work it out alone, in privacy, in darkness. And that's why I love being up at night. That's why I love working on the second shift and the third shift. This is my time. This is my time of day. It is when I am alive. It's when I can think straight. It's when I have the best ideas at this time. And the best idea is that the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.